This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man,
we got a lot to chop up. Braves salvage a game in this series with the Dodgers. They're really good. Also, we will talk about all the things that went down over the weekend. We've got a great guest that's going to stop by. Today's a big day for Georgia, too, for those who don't know, as Jared Curtis is going to make his decision today around 5:30. This is the number one quarterback coming out next year, guys, and he's down to Oregon and Georgia. We'll talk to Connor Riley about that from Dog Nation. But Mike Bell, enjoyed watching the festivities from afar over the weekend down in Miami. And they just extended this race, right, down there?
Yeah, man, it's a big hit. I know that at first a lot of Europeans were upset. America's gobbling up all the races. We got three now in Texas and Vegas. But it's a spectacle. It's our fourth year now. We've had tickets for it. And you know me. I'm a huge Formula One fan, but just a blast. Everything you know from Miami, Carl. I was joking around with Randy during the commercial break. He goes, it's Miami, man. Just the most beautiful women in the world in various states of undress that you may have seen on television. And, you know, just the glamour of it, the excitement, nothing against you. Like, you like what you like. I'd like this. But, yeah, it is just bananas. And, of course, we ate like just piggies and had a great weekend, man. And the air show was going on, too.
Oh, wow.
The big Fort Lauderdale air show, guys. Have you ever heard of it? It's one of the best in the world. So we're sitting in the pool on Saturday, just, you know, drinking margaritas and everything. Then, shoom, or Friday, I should say, when we got down there, it was off Friday. And you see the Blue Angels just come zipping right over in formation. So it's kind of neat to see all that. And then Saturday, of course, the qualifying and everything else was great. And the race itself you just talked about. Good time.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you're back in one piece. The race itself, who won?
Hey, man, 1-2 from McLaren. I'm a big Oscar Piastri guy. That's the dude who's really got the balls. Put it simply, Carl. I was sitting next to a British guy from Kent. I felt like I was in a Guy Ritchie movie. I'm sitting here, a guy goes I had the McLaren shirt on. He goes, well, at least you got proper kit. And I'm like, that means you get the right clothes on for the race.
For sure.
And the guy sits there, he goes, I like Lando, but Piastri, I got to be honest with you, he's got the minerals. In other words, he's got the attachments.
He does.
So anyway, he goes right at Max. Real exciting race. And not a fun, man. So you get to watch a little bit of it on Sunday?
I did. And look, this was always one of our favorite weekends. I was talking about this on the national show. Being Cinco de Mayo weekend, we've spent a lot of time in Vegas this weekend. And the Formula One is added to it, right? It just falls on, you know, this time of the calendar. But usually you're getting some big fight, right? And then obviously the Kentucky Derby, which is, it was incredible. It's always incredible to take in when you're somewhere else and everybody is, you know, seeing what happened. But, man, Sovereignty wins the Kentucky Derby. And, Mike, we had a little get-together. It was nuts, man. I mean, I'll say this. I did not have that horse. I was trying to go with some of the better odds or the bigger odds. But, man, what a crappy track. And ultimately, you know, it didn't matter. I mean, the Sovereignty was absolutely insane on Saturday.
I had 7, 8, and 18. So I had two of the three horses. I boxed my trifecta. And the one horse who let me down was Luxor Cafe.
Yeah, that's the one I had.
Off to the freaking glue factory
gone,
for you.
Gone.
Came in 12th. But, yeah, I had Sovereignty. I had Journalism. But Luxor Cafe was going to be my trifecta. So no shot. Beza took third. But, yeah, for a while there, I'm thinking, like, wow, we got this. The conditions were just god awful. We had some friends that were up there. And, I mean, you know, all the women wanted to wear the hats and look great, but it was just nasty and muddy and cold up there in Louisville this weekend.
Yeah. Yesterday, I was out and about. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big shout out to our friend John Parley. He had an event for his wife. It's the Passion Foundation up in Roswell. And a guy that works for Wheels Up, one of our buddies, was there. And he was talking about just coming back from the Kentucky Derby. And he was like, you know what? As long as there's no lightning, right, nobody's going to leave. Like, as long as there's no lightning. And there was 130 or 50 or whatever it was, 1,000 folks there. Insane scene up there in Louisville, as it always is. I'll tell you what else was crazy was the wait over the weekend. Now, I know you were out of town, but Friday, rain delay. Saturday, rain delay.
I followed my buddy Big Ray. He lives in the Battery. And he goes, I'm trying to make it. I'm falling asleep because every night was late night.
It was. Friday, it was about an hour, hour and 13 minutes, whatever it was. Saturday was 3 hours. And that is brutal. And I know, you know, it's Saturday, so it's not a weeknight where you got to get home, get the kids to bed or whatever. But, man, that's a long time. And the Dodgers blew doors on Saturday. Braves lost on Friday 2-1. Yamamoto, guys, this Dodgers team, we've said it, but you guys see it now up close and personal. This pitching staff is loaded, and Shohei's not even pitching yet. He's not even pitching.
And Grant Holmes, I thought, did enough to win that game, certainly on Friday. Two earned runs and six innings of work. I was talking with Data, our producer, before the show. It's like Bryce Elder, who I've been pooping on because I figured, okay, it's another one of these Brave pitchers who had his chance, and he blew it after the All-Star season. And now Bryce Elder's really in a good comfort zone right now, right, Carl? He's pitching well. Now, conversely, Schwellenbach is giving up the big innings now, and he's struggling.
No doubt. I mean, yesterday it was more about Riley and those two home runs, and we'll let you hear from Brian Snicker here in just a sec. But you're right, Mike. I mean, Iglesias had us on edge again. You know, I mean, he comes out, you know, you give up a hit. You got another guy you got to face, and ultimately he gets out of the inning and strikes out the next two. But, yeah, I totally agree with you about what's going on with Bryce Elder right now. 404-726-0929. The other surprise continues to be Verdugo and Eli White. Mm-hmm. Those two guys have been a big help. We still don't know when, the exact date of when Acuna's coming back, but once he does, guys, that's going to open up a spot in left field. One of these guys is going to get it. I don't know who it's going to be, but one of these guys that has come up here is going to get it. And again, we get Profar back at some point. But you got to survive, Mike, until that all happens. Right. And we're still waiting on that date for Acuna. It could be the end of next month. I don't know.
I mean, there's not a lot of specificity on when Ronald Acuna is coming back. You know, you talked about the green light with Grant when he's going to be able to start doing his rehab assignments. So as we said, you know, we were trying to be like Debbie Downer, but back, you know, during spring training, the idea that, you know, Ronald would be here by Memorial Day, I still have no – I don't think anyone really knows where this is going to go and when he's going to be back out there. But to be three games under 500, you keep hearing the national media say nobody's ever started 0-7 and made the playoffs. I think the Braves will, and I think you will find your footing. But I do think you're still going to have to make some moves like everybody else at the trade deadline. But first things first, you know, get some guys clutch. You know, I still think that, you know, Ozzy still misses a bunch of opportunities with runners in scoring position. But you're right. Riley's been great. You talked about the pleasant surprise of Eli White and Verdugo. So is one guy's struggling, the other guy's kind of step up.
Schwelly, though, 3 2/3 innings. That's not going to get it done.
What's wrong with him?
Don't know.
I mean, because Rick Kranitz, because this goes back to Elder was out of sorts and they couldn't fix it. He had to go back to the minors and it was the yo-yo. Mm. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with Schwellenbach, but I often wonder why do these Braves pitchers always happen to have, like, I know there's a rookie curve or a second-year curve, but Carl, there's always seem to be like this giant speed bump in everybody's evolution as a Braves pitcher. I hope they can fix it.
Yeah, that was the only, I think, you know, thing of concern for me over the weekend. That was Saturday, by the way. Either way, Braves do win a game and do not get swept in this series. Let's hear from Brian Snicker, the manager of our squad, talking about the fact that when Riley gets going, and he is going right now, we're going to give you his numbers here in just a second, this team looks completely different.
Well, yeah, he uses a big part of the ballpark. He's not a pull guy. When he's pulling balls, that's not him, really. When he stays in that State Farm sign and right there where those homers are, he's fixing to get hot.
So, and he did. I mean, that snit on ESPN over the weekend, obviously, the Sunday game. Mike, but here's the deal with Riley. He started out, guys, he was hitting 143, a home run, and 3 RBIs in his first 9 games. And that's when Mike and I were like, when's this guy going to hit?
Right.
Over his last 24, Riley is crushing it. Team is 14-10. He's hit 343 during that stretch, has 1,000 OPS. That's slugging it on base. Riley is driving this thing. 7 home runs, 21 RBI, Mike, over the past 24 games. So since that stretch to start, where we didn't know what was happening, he was frustrated with himself, all of a sudden now, Riley is doing the Riley things that we expected. I will say this, though. Every time Freddie is here, man,
I know.
You just realize he's Freddie freaking Freeman.
Yeah, I saw him. He was talking to, like, it was a World War II veteran. He was, like, yes. 100 years old. He's talking to the family. And just, I mean, Freddie is Freddie. And we, I think, come to the conclusion. We were, I know I was being very mean to Freddie at the time. Is that you got to know what your agent is doing, how these conversations are going. But at the end of the day, and this is nothing against Matt Olson, because Matt Olson, two guys can be really good, but Freddie's special. And you miss it, and you should have just given him the 6-year end of story, period.
Austin Riley, tell us, he went actually two home runs. I shouldn't say tell us, but I want you to hear the home runs courtesy of ESPN.
Riley gets into this one, left field with a lot of carry. Touch of all time, Austin Riley. His seventh, and he picks up RBI 21 and 22. Punches out the side. Riley delivers a bomb. It's 2-0. Swing and another drive. Deep center field. This one is also out of here. Fly, baby, fly. Austin Riley's second two-run home run of the night. It's Austin Riley 4 and the Dodgers nothing.
Yeah, man, one-man gang, and he gets to roll. And as you said it, he's just really seeing the ball well. He's doing everything you need him to do. Matt Olson, conversely, 1-for-10 against the Dodgers. Now, it was a home run in the game where Grant Holmes, that was the only run support he got in the 2-1 loss. But, yeah, man, Olson batting 100 in that series against the Dodgers.
Day-Day, you were there yesterday?
Yeah.
You said as soon as it came off the bat.
Soon as it came off the bat, you know. And then the second one, everybody literally stood up like, no way. Yeah. No way. Yeah. No way. And I mean, it was just amazing. And I mean, listen, man, it's hard to pinpoint, you know, to, like you guys are saying, what's going on with this team. They look so good in time at times,
sure.
But then they just have those moments where you have to say maybe they just aren't it this year.
Well, wasn't that the scene last year? How they scrapped? Remember how bad you and I would be arguing about why can't they get to 500? Remember that whole slog first to get to 500? And then, look, that's why I said it was one of Snicker's best jobs when you consider all the injuries and everything. You had to rotate, and the pitching wasn't great. And they had to grind just to make, you know, the wild card. But that team wasn't great. And this team, to Day-Day's point, is the same. It's just they don't pass the eye test.
They don't. And this is the cream of the crop that we played over the weekend. This is the team that we're going to have to see and go through and beat in a series to get to the World Series. And right now, we don't have enough. It's just what it is. Doesn't mean that we can't compete. It's like this weekend. You're going to win every now and then. You're not going to sweep them. They could probably sweep us. Just overall, they feel like they're better. But once Acuna gets back and Strider gets back, is that going to be enough to push us over the top? 404-726-0929. You guys can chime in. As always, it is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes and follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. And make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We're coming back. We got plenty to dive into. A guy goes off from beyond the arc last night, and it's not the guy you think. Mm-hmm. But also, Mike, we got to talk about punishment. Because for some people, it doesn't seem like the punishment fits the crime. If I told you, and a lot of people don't believe this, I do, that if we did something that ultimately allowed us to win a championship, shouldn't there be a harsher punishment than what we're hearing is coming down from Michigan and their head coach, Sharon Moore? We'll get into that as well, guys. Along the way, as we mentioned, a couple of guests are going to stop by. Connor Riley to tell us the latest on the Dogs. Big recruiting day for Georgia. Mm. And Mike, Nick Saban went to see the president about NIL.
Yeah. Now, again, sometimes executive orders can be rather cavalier, no matter how you lean politically. But this is one thing we can all get behind if we can find some way to, at least until if Congress or if a judge can't make a decision, find a way that you cap it. But, of course, you cap it. All it takes for us one student athlete to get in front of a judge.
Mm.
Judge sees differently. That's not going to be the law of college football for very long. Well,
no, it's not going to be. He had 9 threes last night, and it's not who you think it is. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's third annual Father's Day dinner's coming. We want you to join us Friday, June 13th at Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar in Dunwoody as we celebrate Father's Day with you. Go to 92.9 The Game, click on the contest page, and tell us why you want to treat your dad to a special dinner with 92.9 The Game and the staff. And you tell us why you want to bring your grandfather, your kid, your coach, anybody that's important to you in your life. It's brought to you by Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar. Guys, make sure you enter now for the chance to win at 92.9 The Game. It's never too early to start thinking about that. Mike getting back from Miami, MIA, down there for the F1 race.
305.
Man, I'll say this, though. And Day-Day, tell me if I'm wrong on the amount of time, but you said 2040, or is it 2041?
2041, yes.
They have committed.
Yes. Right.
That is incredible.
And
it really is.
It's like it's such a great location because, you know, Miami is the gateway to America for South America, Latin America. So, I mean, we literally, yes, and you can insert punchline here. I talked to a number of Colombian people, Carl, mostly the two twins that were from Bogota. That was a nice conversation. But, yeah, folks from Argentina and Brazil. It was a guy on the shuttle bus going back to the hotel. It was from Sao Paulo, brought his dad up, and he was just a huge fan. So everybody loves the race. The British are finally getting around to it. You know, they're racing snobs because the first few races were a little bit, you know, kind of processional. But now you're getting real action. It's been a blast.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Mike, maybe you can just shed some light on this because I saw people on my timeline, friends that I'm with that, you know, in other states that made their way there. It seems like it's kind of like how the Kentucky Derby has, like, you know how people start just flocking there for the various little parties?
Right.
Seems like Formula One is starting to have some of that going on.
Well, it's funny because amongst other things that happened this weekend, oh, by the way, there was like a 60-foot Lamborghini yacht that sank in Biscayne Bay.
Oh, wow.
With a bunch of people. It was over. Somebody's like, did somebody not set the plug on the back of the boat? But anyway, you know, you're a boater. You know what I'm talking about. So there's like this like gazillion-dollar boat is basically, you know, ass up, so the nose is sticking out of the water. Everybody had to jump off. Nobody got hurt. But that was the stuff that's going on. Parties everywhere. You know, you'd see like Jelly Roll and all these different entertainers, everybody doing their thing. And it's so funny. The grid walk is all NFL players. Justin Jefferson was showing Oscar Piastri how to do the gritty.
Oh, yeah.
And so he did a modified gritty after he won the race. Of course, everyone was laughing because he was terrible at
it. Yeah, that's funny.
Australian kid from Melbourne. But he takes they had all the Dolphin players and Justin Jefferson going for a ride around the track, you know, in an Aston Martin doing like 170 on the back stretch. It was really kind of cool, the crossover. I saw Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas was right in front of us. It's pretty cool. So the yellow celebrities you just expect to see.
Well, and I was going to say, to your point, and that is right, the Kentucky Derby as well. Everybody, you know, and it depends on the year and certainly depends on the races. But to Mike's point, with only three races in the United States, this is the chance for us to really do it unless you want to travel abroad. Really cool stuff down there, man. There's a lot going on today, guys. We're going to talk about how the Falcons need to improve their division dominance. And we had Rick Stroud on the show Friday. Mike was out. He was talking about Tampa Bay. We're going to let you hear what he had to say coming up in less than 10 minutes. Very interesting stuff in regards to the Falcons and the Bucks.
They are the gatekeepers. You know, I mean, we're talking about when we're going to, you know, knock on the door and knock that door down. Man, we blew it last year. Six. You know, to remind you guys, you watched it. But, I mean, Tampa Bay, you know, first it was Brady, then it was Baker.
Yeah.
We can't beat him.
No,
I mean, we beat him, but we can't beat him for the division.
Well, I was going to say, we had him beat. Right. All we had to do was maintain it, and we couldn't even do that. More on that coming up in just a few minutes. Dom is here. Dom's going to be hanging out with his guys, Big O and his wife, expecting their newest child. And so Big O's going to be off for a little while. But, Dom, thank you for hanging out. He's going to be here and for an extended period of time. So you're part of the family, part of the show, man, and I appreciate you being here. Our executive producer, Day-Day, let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Warriors come out and play. Warriors advance over the Rockets, but it was not what you thought. If I would have told you and you didn't watch this game, I said, man, he hit 9 threes. You would have been like, Curry went off.
Right.
It wasn't Curry. It was Buddy Hield. And as a matter of fact, Mike, they needed this performance because, to be honest with you, it was kind of like, okay, who else is going to score? Buddy Hield has an incredible career-type game last night. Rockets go home. Here's Buddy Hield talking about the team meeting that was held before this game.
Yesterday, when we get to Houston, we had a very emotional meeting led by Draymond and Steph and Jimmy. And from then, I was just locked in and just get my spirit together, and just like this, the meeting we had was just like just better give everybody chills, and we know when it's when they go to battle, we know what that means, and the meeting was well needed. Game 60 was not locked in. We you know Dre put all the blame on him, just getting himself mental. You see him today; he was not freaking with the refs. He didn't miss anybody. He was just being Draymond Green, all defensive player. He's our team leader. He's our spirit animal, and he's there for us. And today, and he just. Just follow their lead, you know, and we know how much this game meant for them, and we just collectively had a meeting, and we just figured it out.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I was joking around with Carl while you heard the soundbite. I was like, I did not realize Buddy Hield sounded like a cross between Mike Tyson and Pootie Tang.
I don't know if a lot of people knew that. He hadn't done a lot of interviews. I mean, he's been around the league for a while now.
Sepetown.
But yeah, when he started telling you, like, that's not Buddy Hield. 33 points last night.
And he talked about it, you know, because Draymond did, you know what Draymond did the other night, and he apologized and owned it and said, I got to make better decisions. If you had a dime for every time he said that, you'd probably have a grand on you.
Easy.
But anyway, but again, he got it together for when it mattered most. And look, Steph Curry was banged up, you know, the thumb, and he got clutch. He was cold in the first half, got hot in the second half. And then, of course, Jimmy Butler. And, you know, part of that team meeting was Jimmy Butler saying, you know, I haven't done my Jimmy Butler kind of stuff, you know, having your guys back and being the leader. And that was another one of the storylines, and he really stepped it up in more ways than just on the floor.
103-89, it was a blowout, to be quite honest with you. Rockets really hadn't, you know, couldn't adjust to the defensive adjustments that Steve Kerr made. Here's Steph Curry talking about how Butler, though, has transformed this team.
That's why we're here. I mean, we were, what, 10th place at one point in February, and, you know, finished the year with a sense of urgency on the run to even get it to the play-in to give ourselves a chance. So for us to build chemistry on the fly, build trust on the fly, and perform like we did in a game seven like this, it means the world. So mission accomplished, step one. We got an incredibly tough Minnesota team waiting. So excited for the challenge.
Meanwhile, Carl, over the weekend when I was in Miami Saturday night, I was at a bar and ran into a dude that apparently bet some money on the Clippers. And I could have told him that was a bad idea. Boy, was the guy was going off on Harden. You and I were just talking about it before the show. Could you have a more listless, gutless performance in an elimination game that you saw from the Clippers the other night?
Well, I've seen it every James Harden playoff team. So it's hard for me to answer, but right. I saw him do this in Philly. I saw him do it in Houston. And in Brooklyn, they weren't good enough because everybody was hurt. So this is no surprise. I've seen it time and time again.
Mm. Unbelievable. Now, I got the impression watching much before the game was a complete blowout that Kawhi Leonard was actually giving effort. And then eventually it's almost like he's like, screw it. You guys ain't trying. Why am I busting my butt?
Yeah.
If I'm Steve Ballmer, you know, like that's that big knucklehead. What was it, Microsoft or is it?
Microsoft.
You know, he's a big, lovable galoot, and he's excited, and he puts money into this team, and he gets these kind of performance. It's like, what am I paying you knuckleheads for? Harden's a Hall of Famer, but man, to be so ineffective in the game like this, Carl, eight shots from a, I mean, just, it really is. I mean, I know I use this phrase a lot. What's the line from Any Given Sunday? Where's your pride, Harden?
He doesn't have any. New York, Boston tonight, game one.
You give Knicks a chance or gentlemen's suite?
It's going to be a tough matchup. And by the way, let me say this. Golden State's going to have their hands full. Minnesota is a matchup nightmare for them. Their size, you talk about our size, Minnesota's size for Golden State is going to be a problem. So I'm not going to tell you they're going to get swept. I'm not going to tell you Curry's going to get swept out. But that's going to be a tough matchup.
Jason Tatum is averaging like just under 34 points in the four games they played against the Knicks. So that doesn't bode well. I don't know how. And again, you know Thibodeau. He'll get tight and then five guys will be on the floor for the whole game. And that's be all she wrote.
Denver at OKC tonight also as that series gets underway. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
And down the stretch they come. Mike and I mentioned it. Sovereignty wins. Let's hear the call from the 151st, that is, Kentucky Derby.
Sovereignty has taken the lead. Journalism is second toward the inside. Baez is third, but it will be Sovereignty to rule the Kentucky Derby. Journalism and Baez were next. Final Gambit was fourth. The final time was 202.31 seconds.
Everybody was on journalism, too.
Yeah, it's funny. I had to laugh because the punchlines write themselves. Well, journalism is lost. Well, some say journalism. Some would argue that journalism has died in this country about 20 years ago. But either way, yeah, man, Sovereignty was just so solid down the stretch, as we said. A lot of guys, you know, you had, like me and Carl, I was going for maybe one sort of middle-of-the-road long shot, but the favorites were the favorites. Every horse in the race has some bloodline to Secretariat, which
crazy.
Is wild.
Crazy.
But, yeah, so the conditions, as we like to say in Seinfeld, his mutter was a mutter. Obviously, he handled the weather.
Some people say Secretariat is the greatest athlete ever.
Biggest heart ever of any horse.
And you know, the argument there is now you see the lineage of what he's produced. It's like, holy cow. And a great movie, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Hey, man, coming up, we're going to hear from our buddy Rick Stroud. What did he say about Tampa and us? We got some work to do, Atlanta. We'll tell you about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mm-hmm. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday, everybody. George is going to find out. Maybe they already know. where Jared Curtis is going to go. Number one quarterback in the country, going to make his decision today at 5:30. We'll be all over that.
We were just talking last week about what happened with Juju Lewis's recruitment, Julian Lewis. Mm-hmm. And I was hearing Brandon Adams on Dog Nation was talking about it on his podcast. And it was basically what you and I were asking. Why didn't they do more work to recruit him? He decommitted from USC. This is now the guy who went to Colorado for Deion, playing for Deion, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And the story sounded like his dad, and I don't blame him, said, look, you know, we saw how Carson Beck's, you know, tenure is playing out. This is last fall. Saying, you know, my son doesn't want to wait 3 years to play quarterback at Georgia. He won't play relatively early in his career.
Sure.
And I wonder if that alienated Kirby and why they maybe switched the focus, you know, to Curtis. I mean, moved it off to somebody else.
Look, there's a lot of working parts with all these players. And now you have the element of agents, which wasn't there. Okay. You might have had mom, dad, grandpa, auntie, uncle, all involved, depending on, you know, the situation. Maybe a close family friend, maybe another coach who knew the kid. Well, now you add the agent to this.
Right.
And I just think, Mike, when you get down to it, and I've always said this, if this was your son who was talented enough to be recruited by all these schools, you'd want him to go play immediately somewhere, hopefully, as well. And my question last week in regards to Georgia was simply, do they have a type?
Right.
A particular type of quarterback that they like. And if you don't fit that mold, if you're not, you know, 6'5", Mike, and the prototypical drop-back quarterback, are you not going to be, given an opportunity? I do not know the answer to that. But I've said, look at the recruiting over the last 10 years, and even when Kirby has been there. They're not putting high-caliber quarterbacks into the NFL. Yeah. Say what you want about Saban. Go look at all the guys in the NFL right now, and a couple of guys already have rings. Like, that is the fundamental difference between Saban's tenure there and what Kirby has done. He's produced great teams. But that quarterback position is something that we continue to talk about.
And just real quick, you know, with Julian Juju Lewis out of Carrollton, you know, the idea that that Brandon was talking about, what he was told, is both quarterbacks are at the Tennessee game last year in Athens.
Okay.
And this is right after Julian Lewis Juju had basically decommitted from USC. So he's basically ripe for the picking, and he's in Athens. You want to ask the question, how hard did they go after him? And this is just purely, you know, speculative, spidey sense type stuff. Do you feel that Kirby senses drama, at least his definition of drama, in just the request that, hey, my son going to want to play, and all those elements you just talked about, and why they then perhaps just pivoted to Jared Curtis, and he got more of the love, and now we'll see if he's going to return the love, and it's going to be Georgia over Oregon.
We'll see. That's going to happen later this afternoon. How important is it for the Falcons to be dominant in this division? Mike said it. We should have won this division last year. It's probably the most frustrating thing. Forget about the Kirk Cousins stuff. We were at a point in the season where, you know, I really was starting to look ahead. And for those of you who have been on this show and listened to this show for the last decade, you know that was a moment, a pivotal moment in this show's history where we had a division lead. We were 5-0 at the time. And I said, there's no way we're not going to the playoffs. I'm starting to look ahead. I started that last year, and we blew it again. So, Mike, Rick Stroud came on the show. He covers the Tampa Bay Bucs. He's covered the NFL for a very long time. You guys do realize we haven't won this division since 2016?
Yeah.
2016. Division? What division? Rick Stroud, is this a two-team race between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, I wouldn't discount them. I mean, look, Bryce Young showed a lot of progress at the end of the year. You guys saw him in the final game when Atlanta needed to win, and he took them down, and Atlanta beat these guys twice with Kirk Cousins. I think they're better, you know, probably better at quarterback. Certainly they did some things and mortgaged some future for their defense in Atlanta, as you guys know. I still think it's the Falcons and the Bucks, but I would never discount. These guys struggle against Carolina as much as any team they ever play. So, you know, this division, no one's afraid of anybody. Anyone can win. And that's all cliche, but it's absolutely true. The Bucks have won four straight division titles. They've been in the playoffs five straight years. And so I know they want to be discounted. They want people to think that someone else is going to take the crown, but you got to take it off their head. You know, they're not going to hand it to you. So it should be a better race this year. We don't know. New Orleans is a wild card, right? But they'll make strides, too.
Talking about Carolina, and then obviously talking about New Orleans. Guys, New Orleans is in a rebuild. Sorry, Saints fans. That's just what it is. It should be, Mike, us and the Bucks. And I would be willing to say, well, we probably are better than them. But I said that last year, and we blew it.
Yeah, no. Again, the Kirk Cousins injury, as we said, I know you guys are sick of hearing about it. It was kind of unprecedented to be that good. You guys saw it Thursday. That Thursday night game at Mercedes-Benz, one of the greatest Falcon games of all time. And then just to have the wheels fall off subsequently after winning down in Tampa, beating the Cowboys. I don't know. I mean, we've got to get this defense. I don't know what this defense is going to look like, and a lot of questions about James Pierce Jr. And again, guys, we were excited and fun to talk to him, you know, after the draft. But, you know, more and more analysis, a lot of people feel it's a reach. We'll talk coming up in 4th and 1 about how some other teams were feeling it was a big, big reach compared to what they were willing to offer to move up. But you got to be able to get pressure on the quarterback. Baker Mayfield's good, right? We've seen it. And we beat these guys twice last year. Took overtime in one case to beat them. I thought, you know, the Tampa Bay game was, we kind of had control of that one. But you got to be able to be physical, and you've got to be able to finish things out. That's the thing. You know, Todd Bowles, you and I thought he was going to be, speaking of dead man walking, we thought he was going to be gone, and then he just kind of reinvigorated himself with Baker Mayfield. They got a good team.
They do.
They draft well. They've added pieces. You know, Mike Evans is one of the great receivers of this generation. They got dudes.
Well, they just went and got another wide receiver in this draft, and you know, part of that is just what you're talking about, the age and also the health concerns.
Egbuka, right?
Correct. From Ohio State. Guys, go listen to Rick Stroud and what he had to say, not only about us, but this entire division. It's online at odyssey.com. Great interview with him that we conducted on Friday. We have finished 2nd 3 times, 3rd 3 times, 4th twice. So that's what we've done in this division. And we always say this, and I'll say it again at the beginning of the year. The quickest way to the playoffs is just this. Win your division. You don't have to worry about how you fared against other NFC teams and what we did against the Commanders on the road or at home. That stuff doesn't come into play. So that's why we always discuss this is the easiest way to do it. You want to make it hard, you do what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did last year. They had no shot in potentially coming back and beating us head-to-head, or for that matter, winning out. But they won all those games in the NFC, Mike, and all of a sudden, there they are.
Yep. Last time we got to the 2nd round of the playoffs, that was 17. That's when we had the great defense. We had to go on the road. We had to go on the road to L.A. and Philly. But our defense was really good that 2nd year, but the offense was kind of under Sarkisian. It just wasn't as – nothing was as smooth, obviously, as Shanahan's.
All right. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. With what you know right now, draft's done. Free agency's done. Guys, your team fundamentally is not going to change. Do you feel like we've improved enough in the areas we needed to – that we have an edge to do what we needed to do last year, and that was win this division? You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think. Our text line, 404-726-0929. And always follow us at Dukes and Bell 929 on social media and Mike Bell ATL. Put them up. See Dukes as well. Coming up, we're going to get to a 4th and 1, talking about all the things that are going on around the NFL. Mike mentioned potential trades. Jalen Ramsey, Mike, we got asked this too, I think, over the weekend about, do you think we're going to get Jalen Ramsey? My answer has been no. And I still don't think that's going to happen. But it doesn't mean he's not going to get traded. He wants to be traded. Miami's ready to move on. But where is he going to go? I just don't feel like that's in the cards for where we currently are.
Well, again, we'd have to obviously come to terms with his restructuring because everybody wants more money. And I do look, I do like it. I still think he's better than Mike Hughes, although Mike Hughes is probably a little under-respected here in Atlanta by me and a lot of Falcon fans, but statistically he's okay. But to do that, you'd have to probably, you know, lose a guy like Onyemata. And last time I checked, we're still kind of thin at defensive tackle, despite how the depth chart looks now.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, you know, people are waiting on Aaron Rodgers to make this decision on where he's going to go, whatever that's going to be. But, you know, deals can be made all the way up through the start of training camp, guys. And even at training camp, sometimes deals are made. So there's not a reason to think that, you know, he's not going to get moved sooner than later. I would think he probably want to know where he's going, Mike, and he'd like to have that, you know, taken care of. But the Jalen Ramsey thing is still out there. And looking at our secondary, by the way, now that we drafted a couple of safeties, again, how much we're in the nickel, I get it. Would he be an upgrade is my question. And if you felt that way, then go ahead and roll the dice. I just don't see him doing that right now with the way that the draft played out for us. 404-726-0929, guys. Talking a lot of Braves today as well as they finally salvage a game in this series against the Dodgers. I'll just say it, and it sounds cliche, but the Dodgers are really good. They just are. And you saw it over the weekend. You know, the rain delay kind of sucked because everybody's kind of waiting around, but they had to wait just like we did. And so Friday you waited an hour. Great game, 2-1. Mike said it. Probably had a chance to win that game. Saturday was a blowout. And then last night, 4-3 Braves, Raleigh a couple of home runs, and it was really fun to see the Braves finally get through and break through that door. Because, Mike, remember, they swept us to start the season.
Yeah, man, and I know that the pitching, you know, we like, you know, I love Chris Sale. It was an amazing year last year. He still hasn't been even close to the same player. And Schwellenbach, as we said, I hope, that's why I always ask the question about, you know, how does this pitcher development thing work? What is Rick Kranitz doing? Now I hear somebody in his car, oh, you're getting Rick Kranitz fired. No, I'm just saying. I mean, why do these guys, like what happened with Elder, and again, maybe it's just a hiccup and they're going to have to go back and look at the tape and see what he's doing, whether it's a release point or how he's pitching. Maybe you got to change the order of his pitches and kind of work backwards, as they say, Carl, as opposed to when you go to the rotation 3 times. I should say the batting order 3 times. But Schwellenbach was a guy, you know, the first week of the season, like, man, this guy looks like he is the ace of the franchise. And now he's a lost puppy. So giving up a lot of earned runs, giving up a lot of big contact. So hope they can figure that out. You mentioned Grant Holmes. He did enough to win that game. Matt Olson gave you the only offense in a solo home run. So you and I, we are not of the opinion, I'll speak for you on this, they just don't pass the eye test right now. So grinding, long season, getting towards 500. But you said it. There's the Dodgers and there's the Braves. And you can see the difference. No blank Sherlock, right?
Yeah, listen, they're just and even though I know everybody wants to throw in the money aspect of it, because again, you acquire players the way they have, but it's just the crazy thing to me is they're doing all this and Shohei's not even pitching,
right?
And he was arguably the best pitcher in the league two seasons ago. He hadn't pitched since like 23, right? I think it was August. When's the last time he's pitched? August 23rd, 2023.
Wow.
So he threw a bullpen session while he was here, but that's what's crazy to me. And Yamamoto and all these guys that are pitching for them have just picked up the slack. And, you know, Yamamoto, guys, his ERA is 0.90. It's the best in the majors. And he had one hit through six scoreless innings on Friday night, Mike. That's what you're going up against on top of that potent offense, and there's nobody you're pitching around. You just can't. And so that's why they are so dangerous. But I will say this, they're not going to win 150 games, but they're really good.
Right. And then, of course, the Reds are in town now for four games, by the way. We don't see the Reds very often. So they're better than us. As far as the record, they're a game over 500. They got a pitcher who's kind of like, I think, five games under 500 going tonight. We'll see what the Braves can do with A.J. Smith-Shawver. Speaking of another guy that's kind of shown some improvement, right, the last few starts.
Yeah.
But, this Braves squad, you look at this division, and as we said, the Mets, they for the first time, they've cooled off. They've lost two in a row. And Philly's kind of been just kind of scuffling a little bit themselves. So it's there, just get on a heater. They come off a nice run, and then you kind of feel, okay, turn the corner, and then the Dodgers smack you in the face and take two out of three and give you that reality check you just talked about.
Well, that's what I think this was over the weekend, right? I mean, it's like, oh, we're playing better. Okay, here we go. Riley's hot. Even with all that, it still feels like, man, they're just –
right.
They got a little bit more than we do.
And then you can bring back whatever – I think every Braves fan who was there, including some – I don't blame the guys. I saw some people killing the guys at my home plate that were clapping when Freddie hit the home run.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, Freddie's still a fan favorite. And you realize, with no disrespect to Matt Olson, but at times he's the most vacant person, MVP, because he just disappears. You know, and Freddie has been that constant, you know, in the clubhouse and certainly with his production on the field.
Yeah. It is crazy. And Freddie's just, you know, again – three-run homer in the eighth, drove in four runs, and it's just like you're shaking your head going, well, this is what we had. We know how good he is. But, you know, even after last year, Mike, the World Series MVP, I think, you know, some people may have taken his skill set for granted. He's just a professional hitter.
Right.
That's just what he is,
exactly.
Dude. So, all right, man, we got to dive into what's going on around the NFL. We did not mention this in our headlines, but we need to because Mike keeps talking about it, and I think he's right. We should get the draft as well. Because next year, guys, it's headed to Washington, D.C. If you didn't hear this, so Green Bay did an excellent job of hosting it.
It's Pittsburgh, then D.C.
Report 2027. Yes, Washington, D.C., 2027. But, Mike, you say, okay, and Pittsburgh's perfect. It's perfect.
Imagine how dramatic it's going to look at the confluence.
It's perfect.
Right? The rivers, the lighting, the whole shebang. It's such a great scene out there.
So why can't we get this thing? And I don't know if we're not trying. Again, maybe the Sports Council, maybe everybody that's involved with this, NFL, maybe they're, you know, behind closed doors, we are in the mix. But Mike has been talking about this. So, yes, for the next 2 years, it's taken care of. And Pittsburgh, walkable city, plenty of rooms. That'll be easy. Everybody was worried about the space in Green Bay. It really wasn't that. It was public transportation. They don't have it. And everybody's like, how are we getting around to all these places?
And it's not a knock on Green Bay because, as we said, they're not going to get a Super Bowl, obviously. And, again, maybe because we're not going to get – you know, we have Super Bowls, so we're not going to get this event. But I just know, with all due respect to Green Bay, a giant parking lot is not that, you know, ooh, yippee-ki-yay. The backdrop, of course, is Lambeau, which is dramatic. But to be in Centennial Olympic Park or Atlantic Yards with the city skyline downtown, with all the things, the College Football Hall of Fame, I mean, how amazing it would look, you know? Hell, man, you could even have otters, you know, give the hats to the players, crawl in the aquarium as they walk out. But there's a lot of things we could do that would just really pop and show the city for, you know, the amazing destination it can be.
Yeah, and by the way, the NFL comes in and takes over anyway. I mean, they're going to build all this stuff. It's all, you know, all that stuff is not
but
there.
But it's a great question for the Sports Council. I mean, is it a foregone conclusion that because we are in the Super Bowl rotation, we just are never going to get this thing?
Yeah, we should. Washington hasn't had it in 86 years. Right. So now they're getting it back. All right, we're coming back. Fourth and One's on the way. We got to talk about what's going to happen May 20th and 21st. It may be one of the biggest days this offseason. We'll tell you why next.